John chapter number 3. I do appreciate everybody who helped the last 4 weeks when we were gone, my wife and I. And I cannot tell you what a blessing it is being overseas and knowing that things are running smoothly. Even if they're not running smoothly, they're running, amen. So I can't tell you how much peace of mind it is when you're overseas thinking about back home. And I just want to thank you really from the bottom of my heart that really there's still church, amen. And you had church and you had soul winning and things were going on. And that really gives me a lot of comfort knowing that. John chapter number 3, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1, very familiar passage here. But when I get to verse number 12, I want us to read all together verse number 12. So I'm going to start reading John chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And when we get to verse number 12, let's all read together in unison, please. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I'm going to speak on this subject this morning. Dead men float. Dead men float. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for church this morning, the folks that are here. I do thank you for their faithfulness and their love for the Word of God and for Church House. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. Bless this sermon, a little unusual probably, but it's good to be back home in the church house with believers and the family of God. So I pray this will be a help. I pray there'll be an encouragement, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus is talking to a ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus. Nicodemus later on does get saved as you read the Gospel of John. But here at least, when Nicodemus asks Jesus these questions and Jesus confronts him on the spot and tells him that you must be born again and tries explaining to Nicodemus that you need to be born again, you must be born again, he likens it to the wind and the Holy Spirit and being born again. And it throws Nicodemus for a loop. And Jesus asked Nicodemus, aren't you a master? Aren't you a teacher in Israel? And don't you know these things? These are physical things of nature that ought to be common to everyone. And he ends this in verse number 12, and he says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Our society is so messed up today that they can't even think naturally or normal anymore. And thus, they reject the God who created nature. I guess the second title to this would be The Laws of Nature. But dead men float. When I was in eighth grade, I think it was eighth grade, I went to Ardmore Junior High School right outside of Philly. And We used to go to Wildwood, New Jersey every summer to go swimming down the shore at least once a week, maybe two times. One week out of the year we used to go down there. And sometimes we go on a weekend real quick. But I used to go to shore a lot growing up, either when I lived on the Pennsylvania side or the New Jersey side. We always used to go to shore in the summertime all the time, walk the boardwalk. And I always used to go in the water. I love the ocean. I love the water. But I could never swim. I could never go out where everybody else was swimming because I just never learned to swim. I thought I tried. I tried to pay attention in swim class at school. But in eighth grade, I was about 5 foot tall. I'm 5'9 and shrinking now, 5'10 and shrinking. I'm not sure what I am. But in eighth grade, I was about 5 foot. And I remember that the middle part of the pool was about 5 foot, 1 inch or something like that. And I said, and the size of the pool was about 3 or 4 foot. I can't remember right now. And I said, I'm going to try to walk across the pool, you know, as much as I could. And I tried, and I got halfway, and I panicked, and I started drowning. And just like you see on some of the movies or clips or videos, they pulled me out, and a fella that lived across the street from me, Joey Boucher, 1 year younger than me, he pulled me out of the water and got me just like you see on the side of the pool there. I was on my back and my mouth like this, and they were pushing, pumping water out of me, you know. I wouldn't tell my parents, I was too embarrassed or something like that, but I don't know how close I was to dying. I'm not sure I was, but they did what they had to do to get the water out of me and stuff like that because, you know, I would have drowned if nobody was there. And so ever since then, and before that, but ever since then, I really had a fear of swimming, to be honest with you. And so I always stayed away from the water, or I tried to fight it as best I could. And I remember this pool that I almost drowned in had a separate part where I had a diving board that was at least 15, 20 foot deep, where people who knew how to swim and dive used to dive off the diving board. And so I just kept looking at that thing one day. And I said, man, I kept looking at people diving and coming up, diving, coming up. And it was about half the size of the other swimming pool that I almost drowned in. And I said to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to dive in there, and then I'm going to swim as fast as I can with my hands to reach the top. And so that's what I did. I dove off this diving board. I hit my feet on the bottom. I sprung off the bottom, and as fast as I could, holding my breath, I swam like this, or however I did, and I got to the edge as fast as I could. And that felt good because I was able, for the first time, to overcome my fear of water. And so I did that a few times. I couldn't swim, but I could jump off the diving board, spring myself off the bottom, and as fast as I could with my arms, get to there holding my breath. It wasn't swimming, but at least I was overcoming my fear of doing that. Years later, I went into the Marine Corps, still did not know how to swim. And so this is 1981 now, I went to boot camp, and as it turned out, the platoon right in front of us had a Marine recruit that had drowned in the pool that we were going to learn how to swim in. I remember the drill instructor or the swimming instructor said, if you don't know how to swim now, you're either going to die or learn how to swim by the time you get out of here. And this guy wasn't kidding because there was a congressional investigation. They had congressmen coming down there, you know, checking it out because the Marine died, drowned in the pool right before our class. So I said to myself, I better learn how to swim. So they had a guy dressed in the full gear, you know, he had a backpack on, had his rifle, jump in there, and he was able to swim out of the water with a full backpack. They had another guy in there, handcuffed behind his back, jumped in and was able to swim out. And so because I was afraid of dying, not just drowning, but dying, I learned how to doggy paddle real fast, and I was able for the first time in my life doggy paddle, and I was tired. If you don't know how to swim, you know what I'm talking about. You try to doggy paddle as fast as you can to the other side. And I was just huffing and puffing, but I made it for the first time. I went from one end of the pool to the other end of the pool for the first time in my life in boot camp because I just didn't want to die, amen? Fear is a good motivating factor sometimes, amen? So, and then, you know, I passed boot camp there. I went through, I got out of the Marine Corps and got married and had children. And then we moved to Melrose, New York, where we live now. And we've been there for about 17, almost 18 years. And it's great because my next door neighbor, Bob Campbell, has an in-ground pool. And it was great because I don't know if all my children learned how to swim, but at least most of them learned how to swim in my neighbor's next door pool. And so I learned how to better swim in his pool. Because every time I had a chance or I had the opportunity, I went over there to swim. And so I learned how to float on my back a little bit, and I learned how to hold my breath for at least, I think it was 2 minutes, and maybe more than 2 minutes. I was able to hold my breath underwater for 2 minutes. Because once you learn how to fear, to conquer your fear, you're able to deal with water a lot better. When I had a fear of the water, I couldn't deal with the water. You get anxious, you get nervous, and when you panic, that's when you get problems. So for the years I started going to the pool next door where we live now, I started with my children where they learn how to swim. I myself was teaching myself how to stay afloat. We went to Greece this last 4 weeks. My wife was born in Greece. My mom was born in Greece. We have a whole bunch of relatives in Greece. And while we're in Greece, the first time we went back to Greece when we had a family was 10 years ago. And I remember swimming in the same place we were swimming this just a week ago, amen, is salt water. And I understood by reading that salt water, it's easier for you to float in salt water. And two thoughts kept crossing my mind about trying to win this battle about swimming. I remember going to Wildwood, New Jersey, my grandfather, my dad's dad, going out, and literally, he would go out, man, when I say not 100 yards, but 200-300 yards, so far that you couldn't almost see him. And he'd be on his back, not for 10 minutes, not for 20 minutes. It seemed like for half a day, he'd be out there. I could see his head, and I could see his feet sticking up out of the water on his back. The funniest part was, you could tell it was my grandfather because he was smoking out there. And he'd take the cigarette, and you could see the smoke coming out like out of a whale, you know. So I knew that was my grandfather, amen. He'd take a lit cigarette out in there, and he'd get out far enough where he'd put it in his, and it would be lit. You could see him out there laying on his back. And I said to myself, but why could my grandfather do that, and I can't do that? And then I started thinking, you know, dead people float. It is a natural phenomenon. When a person drowns in water, they rise to the top. That's why the mafia puts cement shoes on people, right? So they don't rise to the top. It is a natural occurrence of the laws of nature that dead people float. And I said to myself, well, if dead people can float, why can't I? Because all I have to do is stand on top of the water. I should be able to do it. So it's a matter of my mind controlling my emotions and my body to float on top of water. I don't know about you, but I crossed a major milestone in my life this last 4 weeks because I was able to float on my back for over an hour for the first time in my life. And not only, I'm not talking in 5 foot of water. I'm talking about where the ships were sailing. I don't know if it's 50 feet deep. I don't know if it's 200 foot deep. But I went as far as I could. And without any strength, without any exertion, I was able to lay on my back and just breathe. And the interesting thing I've learned in the last 10 years about doing this is when you take a breath in, your body comes more up to the top. And when you take a breath out to breathe, your body sinks a little bit. But I came to the realization that, you know what? If dead people can float, why can't I? Now, I probably could have gone longer than an hour, but I proved my point over to myself that I conquered my fear of swimming. Why do you say that? Because too oftentimes we are fighting ourselves instead of yielding to the natural laws of God Almighty. And a lot of times in our Christian life, you're fighting yourself and you're fighting God instead of just yielding, just surrendering. And sometimes you say, well, the Christian life is too hard. It's not really that hard. You just have to do what God says to do. It's not as difficult as you would think it is. Pastor, I can't. For instance, when I was going to court reporting school, I remember my court reporting teacher told me this. He said, court reporting school is about 2 years. I crammed 3 years into a two-year school, okay? But he said this. He was a federal court reporter in federal court in Philadelphia, Phil Feldman. He said this. He had a high, squeaky voice. He said, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And he said this. He said, 1 out of 10 that start finally graduate. He said it's the equivalent, this is what he told me, it's the equivalent of learning 3 or 4 foreign languages. But he always said this, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And I said to myself, I said, yeah, if he can do it, why can't I do it? Well, he's not smarter than I am. If he can do it, then why can't I do it? Look, I'm not the smartest brain in the room. If I ever got a C in my report card, I was a happy dude, man. I was a happy man. I was a happy boy coming home. See, I got a C, man. My wife ever got an A minus, she come home crying, amen. I'm just saying that's how it was. If I studied, I could have got better. And once in a while, I got A's. I'm not saying but I'm just saying it didn't bother me about school as much. But when you're dealing with life, a lot of times we bring on ourselves our own problems of our own making. And then when we're under this pressure, this burden of our own delusions, we can't do what God commands us to do. And we sort of blame God, say, I can't do that, God. But you can if you wanted to. Look, you go to church because you get a paycheck once a week or once every 2 weeks. Well, if you can go to church when you're sick, you can go to church when you go to work when you're sick, you can go to church when you're sick. That's my philosophy. I mean, if you let Uncle Sam take 10, 20, 30% of taxes out of your paycheck, then you could give a tithe if you wanted to. We're fighting God and fighting ourselves. Gravity is a law of nature. Rockets and jets go against the nature of gravity until they leave the Earth's atmosphere. You cannot change gravity. You may do some things to alter your interaction with gravity, but you cannot change gravity. That's one of what we call the natural laws, the laws of nature. Natural law is what God has instituted for the earth and the universe. Things come and go naturally. People are born and people die. Most of natural law is good. The sun rises and the sun sets. You can't stop it. We have 4 seasons. You cannot change those. And God said in Genesis, as long as the earth is around, you're going to have seasons. And you know the seasons, especially in the Northeast. Amen? There are many things that come naturally for us that we make difficult because we have not conquered them in our mind. Whatever the subject is, the reason you can't is because you think you can't. The reason you can is because you think you can. And it's true about every area. Now, obviously, some people have a higher IQ than others, and obviously other people are more agile than others, and some people are more athletic than others. I grant you that. And some people obviously have better singing voice than others, but we all have an ability to do that which God has commanded us to do. When I got saved, by the way, Jesus said you must be born again. Don't tell me you can't be born again. Maybe you don't want to be born again, but Jesus said you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, you're going to burn in hell. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how much money you put in the offering basket. If you don't do what Jesus said, you're going to burn in hell. That's a law of God. You were born, you're going to die. You better get used to it. People are afraid of dying. You know why people are afraid of dying? Because they're not saved. They don't know where they're going to go. I don't want to die. Well, I don't want to die either, but I want to be with Jesus, amen. I believe what God said, amen. I'm looking forward to death. I don't want to die now, but I'm looking forward because I get to see Jesus when I die. You and I both know friends and family and relatives that are a basket case when people die, like these people we've talked about, because they don't know where they're at. They don't know where they've gone. Natural law took a hit when Adam sinned and all of mankind was cursed thereafter. Before the fall of man, all you had to do was walk upright and eat the fruit of trees that God planted. After the fall of man, it's interesting that man now must bend over and stoop to pick up vegetables and cut up meat. That is now part of our natural law. God said, man shall work and sweat to work. That's God's natural law. We have reversed that law and pay people for not willing to work. That is unnatural. That is going against God's natural law. God said if a man would not work, he should not eat. Another law is a law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6. Mark this down, ladies and gentlemen. You are going to reap exactly what you sow. It may take a few weeks, months, or even years, but I want to remind you that you are going to reap what you sow. That's one of God's natural laws. You sow kindness and love and loyalty and compassion, forgiveness and mercy, you're going to reap the same. But if you sow hatred and anger and bitterness and jealousy and selfishness, you're going to reap that also. You plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. You're going to plant an orange seed, you're going to get an orange tree. The law of sowing and reaping, or the reaping, sowing and reaping. Take your Bible to Romans chapter number 1, please. Romans chapter number 1. The laws of nature. Dead men float. I had to conquer that in my own life. I'm sure you have different fears or you have anxieties about different subjects that you're uncomfortable about. The best thing to do is you ask God for wisdom and power to conquer those things. Because God does have the power and the ability to give to you to conquer those fears. And I'm telling you, if somebody else can do it, you can do it. You may not win the Olympic medal for the fastest person or the pole vault or the discus throw, but you can do whatever God tells you to do. Romans chapter number 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the, watch this, natural use into that which is against nature. That's where you get your lesbians today. You have to be indoctrinated and taught to change your thinking about the natural use of a woman. Look at verse number 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Listen to me good. Even if you didn't believe the Bible, if you took out a biology book, Biology 101, and looked at the anatomy of a male and a female, you know that they go together. It's unnatural for a man and a man to be together. It's unnatural for a woman and a woman to be together. It's against the laws of nature. And you're fighting God when you think otherwise. And God's curse is going to be on you. Welcome back, Pastor Kalidas. Look at verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without, watch this, natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We're getting to the day and age that people love cats and dogs more than people. You love animals. That's why people are against hunting. You've let Disney brainwash you about Bambi too much. You've sat in front of an idiot box. The first thing I think about when I see a deer or a bear or a moose or a buffalo is what kind of rug that thing would make. And what kind of meat that would taste like. And the antlers that would be hanging on the wall or a door. That's the first thing I think about. It's like, you know, especially it's happened a little bit lately where you have these whales wash up on the shore or these seals wash up and they die on the shore. You ever see like these animal worshipers? They go out there and they pour water on the seals and they pour water on the whales and they try to push them back to save them. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen that, obviously. That's because we have no sense. 100 years ago, that thing washed up. Everybody would be dancing and jumping up and down. Man, we got oil for our lamps. We got skins for our clothes. We got food. Hallelujah. It's only in today's society where people are just stupid and go against the natural law of God. And that's the day and age you and I are living in. People are fighting God. 2 Timothy 3:3 says, without natural affection. You have to be taught against the laws of nature to be unnatural. It's natural for a man to lead the family. The Bible says in Peter that the wife is the weaker vessel. I didn't say that. God said it. If you don't know that, you're obviously not with it. I can do anything a man can do. Then grow a beard. Without hormones. I'm just saying, we're living in this world that it's a make-believe world. It's a made-up world. We're living against the natural laws of man. Has anybody ever seen a dead man that doesn't float? They rise to the top. Dead men float. Because no matter how much air you try breathing in or breathing out, there's always a pocket of air. And most of them I've ever seen pictures are, they're always, it's the back that comes up. They're never up face front like that. Usually, they're always face down with the back out of the water like that. Which means to me that the cavity in the back fills up with air. Now, I have not yet conquered swimming or floating like this. I've tried. I'm still getting there where I put my head down and then I come up and I breathe and go down, but it's too tiring for me. I can now lay on my back because it's easy for me. I've learned to conquer my fears because it's a natural law of God that dead people float. Man was created to be outside working. When you take a man and put him inside, whether it's a house or an office, it is unnatural. Man needs to work, sweat, build muscles, push, pull, grunt, run, build, fix, destroy, hunt, and fish. It is unnatural for a man to have a limp wrist. It is unnatural for a man to wear a dress, talk with a lisp, and swish when they walk. A man should have a firm handshake, stand up straight and tall, walk straight, not slouch when they sit, look people in the eye, and be as stubborn as a bulldog as long as they're right. A man should speak like a man where you can hear what he says the first time. I've been working in courts for 36 years, and I cannot tell you how much it bothers me. And it happened just this last week in court where, for those of you who do not know, I'm a court reporter. I write down what the judge says, the lawyers say, the witnesses says. And we had a male on the witness stand this last week, and you couldn't hear what he said. I had to ask him to speak up. The lawyer had to ask him to speak up. The judge had to ask him to speak up. And the man had a microphone in his mouth. That's because men are becoming women, and women want to become men. It's unnatural. You don't wonder why our society is so messed up? Because we're fighting God. But if you're living for God, Acts 5:39 says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. People are fighting against themselves or fighting against God. Take your Bible, please. I forgot. I skipped over this verse here. Take your Bible, please. Turn with me to, I think it's, where I'm... 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Second Timothy chapter number 2. Aging is a natural process. But you know what? People fight and they're deathly afraid of getting aging, of aging. Is that a white hair? Is that a wrinkle? It's a natural process to age. You know, people in their 50s and 60s are trying to be like they're in their 20s and 30s. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they missed the natural law of God when you should have been a mother and father in your 20s and you should be a grandmother when you're 50 or 60 and taking care of your grandkids. But when you're following Hollywood and the movies and the cinemas and television commercials, grandmothers in 60s and 70s trying to act like they're a 20 or a teenager, 20s, that's against the natural law of God. Why you be upset when you're 50 or 60 or 70? I'm 59 years old. I'm going to die one day. It's a natural part of aging in life. I'm glad I'm breathing. It's not natural to be fat and overweight, by the way. That's against nature. Have you ever seen a fat squirrel? You ever seen a fat robin? Is this on? Is this working today? Where did I say? 1 Timothy? Did I say 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, please. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. God says, just flee, run away from them. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord, watch this, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. People are fighting. You know why you don't want to get saved? Because you're fighting yourself. You don't want to admit to the truth that you're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. Don't tell me you don't know you're a sinner. Everybody knows you're a sinner. The only reason you don't know you're a sinner is because you went to some college and some unsaved atheistic professor who hates God told you there's no such thing as sin. You had to be taught out. You had to be taught opposite and contrary to the natural law of God. But if you have an honest heart and open mind and you're being truthful, you know you're a sinner. And you know you need God, and you know you need salvation. You know what people do? They oppose it. They oppose themselves. They're fighting themselves. That's why they get mad at preachers. They get mad at soul winners. They get mad at churches. They get mad at the Bible. They get mad at God. Because they're fighting against the laws of nature. So, in meekness, we're supposed to instruct those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the spirit. Yeah, quench not the spirit. God speaking to your heart, man, you ought to yield to God, amen. You're reading the word of God, you're listening to the word of God, you ought to do what God says, and I'm telling you, God will bless you if you do. But you're afraid because what are people going to say and what's going to happen? You know what? That's what I thought about swimming too. I don't want to die, I don't want to drown. What are people going to think? I'm afraid, I'm nervous. Well, welcome to the club. We were all nervous after we got saved. We all had pressure from the world not to live for God. But I'm telling you, you can live for God. You can live for God because God's in charge of nature, man. And the same God that put the laws of nature in place is the same God who made the sun stand still. He's the same God who made the Red Sea open. He's the same God that made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. He's the same God that can reverse his own laws of nature if he wanted to. And he gives you that power to reverse your fears and overcome your fears, any obstacle you have in your life. And the reason you can't is because you think you can't. My Bible says all power is given unto me. That's what Jesus said. Well, that's available to us. Isn't it Ephesians 4:13, Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things? Is that what he said? All things? All things. We just don't believe that, and thus we suffer the consequences of drowning in our fear. Maybe not swimming, but our nervousness, our fears, our anxiety. What are people going to think of me? If I start going to church all the time, or if I start, you know, changing the way I dress, or if I start being a witness and stuff like that. Now, there's some things, to be honest with you, God changes the laws of nature only for his people. It's a natural thing for people to have long hair. But God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So even though the natural law of God is that, you know, men and women have long hair, God wants his people to be different and to stand out. And that's why he said, man, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Same thing is true about fermentation. It's a natural process. It's a natural thing for wine to ferment or grape juice to ferment. It's a natural process for potatoes or corn or whatever you use to make whiskey. It's a natural fermentation process. But God says, don't look on the wine when it turneth itself aright. Don't look at it when it's red. Thus, God overrules the laws of nature for his people so that you and I would stand out. And so we don't go with everything that God put in the laws of nature because God has a higher law, which is his law, the word of God. Amen. So people say, oh, Jesus, you know, turn the water into wine. I can drink wine. You know, that's somebody who doesn't love God, doesn't care what the word of God says. You're like water that goes down the flows down the river. Water takes a course of least resistance. That's why rivers are always crooked. God's people ought to be straight. Now, with the advent of technology, man has been able to thwart or bypass some of the laws of nature, like flying, television, the internet, electricity, inventions, cell phones, computers, cars, buses, and trains, you name it. But you mark my words, the Antichrist is going to use all those technologies to entrap and ensnare almost the entire world's population to worship him. And because people love money and pleasure, they will succumb to worship the Antichrist. But the same God who made the iron swim taught me how to swim. I mean, the Bible says the iron did swim in 2 Kings 6:6. Remember, the axe head came off and it fell in the water? And the preacher, the prophet, prayed, and the Bible says iron swam. I'm telling you, you can overcome any obstacle in your life if you believe the Word of God. I'm just telling you, that's what God said. But we don't believe it. We think we can, and thus we don't. The walls of Jericho fell down flat. I believe that. It's a natural law of man to want to control others. But Jesus said to his disciples that the Gentiles do that, and that his followers should not want to control other people, except your wife and your children. Now the wife controls the husband, the kids control the parents. That's unnatural. It is the natural for the natural sinful man to be selfish and to get whatever he can out of life. That's a sinful nature of man. But God's law says we should put others first and ourselves last. So God's laws sometimes contradict his own laws of nature just so that his people will look and sound different from all the other natural men. There's a natural man, there's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body, the Bible says. And so when people see someone who is spiritually minded and not earthly minded, that person will stick out and will be a reminder to others that God is still around and God is watching you all the time. And that's why today's society hates Christian believers, is because we are a constant reminder to the natural world that we live in of the supernatural God that we love and worship. Jesus told Nicodemus, I've told you earthly things and you believe not. How are you going to believe it if I tell you of heavenly things? The reason people are rejecting the Word of God today more and more is because they are being taught against the laws of nature that God put into place. And when you teach someone contrary to the laws of nature, how in the world do you expect them to believe in the author of the laws of nature? It won't happen. It is a natural thing for a person to look for God or search for God. But when they find a false God of religion, the false God of education, a false God of philosophy, the false God of social community, the false God of money, the false God of pleasure, the false God of secular humanism, they become a twofold child of hell, the Bible says. It is a natural thing to rebel like a goat, but Jesus teaches us that we should be sheep, his sheep, and follow him. Let's close with Galatians chapter number 5, please. Galatians chapter number 5. You could live for God if you wanted to. If you wanted to. You could do something for God if you wanted to. If you wanted to. But the Bible says in Psalm 78, verse number 41, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So you and I have the ability to stop God in us. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Well, let's go to verse number 17. We'll close with this. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That means they're doing battle. They're fighting each other. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. It's like computers. Whatever you put into a computer, it's going to come out. And I'm telling you, the natural state of sinful man is this picture that you see right here. That's a natural state of man. He doesn't want to share. He doesn't want to be kind. You have to be taught to share. You have to be taught to be kind. You put one toy in the middle of two toddlers in a playroom, you'll see what happens. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months old, put one toy in between, you see what happens. The biggest one's going to win. One's going to cry. And then you walk out and say, no, 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 Johnny, you got to share. You got to be nice. Play with them. Why? Because you're teaching a truth of God that overrides the laws of sinful nature of man. But look at this. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, these are fruit that should automatically and naturally come out of a child of God. If you're reading the Bible, praying, coming to church, and doing what's right. There's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Man-made law, natural law. I don't care if World War III happens tomorrow, you can still have this fruit of the Spirit. I don't care if your husband or wife leaves you, your kids leave you, the doctor tells you you got cancer, your mother-in-law moves in. I'm telling you, you can still have the fruit of the Spirit of God. But you're blaming everything else and everyone else on you not having the fruit that you should be having and producing. No one's stopping you from reading the Bible. No one's stopping you from coming to church. No one's stopping you from praying. But you have your face in that idiot box, you can have the works of the flesh in verse number 19 through 21. Yeah. You hang out with your unsaved family and relatives and neighbors and get advice from people that don't care about God or the things of God, your life's going to get messed up as much as their life is messed up. But if you do what God says to do, then this fruit will come. You know what? I have two trees on my back deck. I have an orange tree, and I have a fig tree. It's very hard to tell that the orange tree is an orange tree because there's no oranges on it. My father-in-law pruned it down too much and cut off too much branches, and it's got leaves, but no oranges. The fig tree has 10 figs on it. I know it's a fig tree because it's got figs on it. If you didn't know, I know the leaf of a fig tree. I have to take it out in the summertime and then bring it back in the wintertime because it's going to freeze in the wintertime. But I know it's a fig tree because I can see the figs on it. Do people know that you're saved and you're a Christian? By the fruit of the Spirit of God. Not you telling them what you believe, not you telling them who you are, but can they see the fruit that you are bearing as a believer? Or are you angry all the time? You jealous all the time? You bitter all the time? You depressed all the time? You discouraged all the time? What is the fruit that you are producing? There's a lot of stuff. I'm going to close with this story here. I was preparing the sermon for the last couple of weeks, and I got this news article August 16th. So you're talking about Tuesday, okay? News article. A female tourist survived 38 hours at sea without a life jacket after falling from a cruise ship. The 31-year-old woman, identified only by her surname Fan, was on a round-trip cruise that departed from Shanghai, according to People's Daily Online. After falling overboard on August 10, she drifted in the water without any life jackets and even fell asleep until she was picked up by a fishing boat on August 12. Miss Fan has since returned home with only minor injuries. Dead men float. She was on the water for 38 hours. You could live for God if you just surrendered to God. You could do something for God if you just yielded to God and saw God's supernatural laws and the power of God in your life change you completely. I can't do it. You can't do it. But Almighty God who saved your soul can do it if you let him. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for loving us. I thank you, dear God, for a supernatural book. I thank you, dear God, for a supernatural God. I thank you, dear God, for the God that you are that spoke everything into existence. The universe, the earth, the moon, the stars. I thank you, dear God, that you made us out of the dust of the earth. I thank you, dear God, that as mere mortal men that we are, yet you have designed it so that the all-powerful God Almighty could dwell in our hearts by faith. And through that very system, I guess, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. I thank you, dear God, for the laws of nature. I thank you for your law that is above the laws of nature. I thank you, dear God, for salvation. It's so easy. It's so simple. If we just yield, if we just say yes to Jesus, willing to admit that we're sinners on our way to hell and not wanting to go there, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you been born again? If you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? He said, Pastor, I know if I died right now, I go to heaven, not because I'm good, but because I've asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Would you raise your hand? He said, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I've been born again. I've asked Jesus to save me. God bless you. I see those hands. You can put them down. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been coming for weeks, months, years, or first time. But you're here this morning and you're not saved. You don't know where you're going to go when you die. You would like to go to heaven, but you just don't know. If it's your prayer, if it's your heart's desire to know that you go to heaven, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, no one looking around, just between me, you, and God. Said, Pastor, please pray for me. I would like to go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. See that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. You can put your hands down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Dear Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for loving us. I thank you, dear God, for salvation. It goes against the natural laws. Natural man rebels against you. But your laws are higher even than your own natural laws. And I thank you, dear God, the day that I surrendered and yielded to salvation through Jesus Christ. And I pray my prayer is, dear God, that today during this invitation, the folks that have raised their hands, those who do not know where they're going to go, would trust you even today as their salvation. Not church, not baptism, not works, not being good, but trusting you only. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please.